Welcome to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast for May 2013. I'm your host, Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. We hope you'll find this podcast informative, but it should not be taken as legal advice. The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants. Patent litigation is expensive, and is sometimes so expensive that the people with a valid claim, potentially for large sums of damages, cannot afford to pursue their claims. Enter the free market and third-party litigation funders. Selvin Seidel is the chairman and CEO of Fulbrook Capital Management in New York City. Fulbrook is involved in identifying, evaluating, and investing in commercial litigation claims with a focus on patent infringement. I spoke with Mr. Seidel from his office in New York City. Hello, Selvin.
Don, how are you? Hello.
Fine, thank you. So tell us about Fulbrook Capital Management and what it does in the IP litigation world.
I will try to make it as briefly as possible, 50,000 feet up. Fulbrook is dedicated to the IP world, and in this sense, we find that there are a ton of claims in the IP world that are very good claims that cannot afford to pursue what we call, you know, civil or commercial justice. They don't have the money, and they don't have the money because they've been wronged by another party, or there's been the economy's downturn, or whatever combination. So they come to us, and they come to other funders, who are called third-party funders, to see if their case qualifies to be sponsored, really, or backed by the funder. So the legal fees are paid for entirely, plus maybe some other things, in return for some success premium at the end of the day for the funder, so that if there's a recovery, let's say, of $100 million, it may be that some portion of that will go to the funder or some multiple of the investment, which may be, let's say, $5 million. This is a new industry. It's an industry that has grown up fairly rapidly over the last couple of years. It goes back some time. And we are different in the sense that we very much specialize in the IP world, particularly the patent world, among some other things. But that's a keen interest to us.
Now, you're not in court litigating these cases, is that right? Your background is a commercial litigator?
Yes. I spent over 40 years as a commercial litigator, and my last 25, I guess, were very much involved with litigating and with various administrative roles. I was at Latham & Watkins, and I chaired their New York litigation practice, the international practice, and then the international litigation and arbitration practice. So I spent a lot of time litigating domestically and internationally, and ultimately that gave me the base to then go into litigation funding, which to me was the next step. It was a combination of law and finance and business and other professions, which an integrated business, and that's what caught my eye in, I guess, 5 years ago now, and I've been in it ever since.
Now, your company website says that Fulbrook invests between $1 and $10 million in a lawsuit with expected recoveries of at least $25 million and about a 2 to 3 year return on the investment. That sounds a lot like a venture capital investment. Are there similarities?
There are similarities to what we do and some of the others do to venture capital. You can also say that, depending on the particular case, there are similarities to hedge funds, there are similarities to family office investors, there are similarities to high net worth investors. We are very much involved in identifying, evaluating, and then investing in claims, commercial claims, as I say, many of them in the IP world, and it is like investing in any other asset to my mind, not to others' minds, but to my mind, it's very much like investing in a company, it's a very real asset. You can value it, you can determine what the investment should be, and you can look at getting a return from it. In the patent world, for example, you can get a return on the settlement value of the case, or the trial and a success fee at the trial, or buying and selling it, licensing it, apart from enforcing it. So there are many ways you can look at this asset, and we very much invest in them. If the case is not successful, by the way, then the risk there is entirely on Fullbook's part, because the owner has to pays nothing.
How do you pick your IP cases?
That is a very, very good question, and I it's hard to give a very quick answer, but we get all sorts of claims that come to us. They've heard of us, or they've heard of the industry, and they ask us whether, so lawyers basically for claimants will call us, sometimes the claimants themselves, and say, we've heard of you, we've read about you, we would like to ask you to consider this claim. Is this a claim that you would invest in? And is it a fundable claim? And what we will do is we will then examine it internally by our core people. If it looks serious, we will then bring in outside experts to help us to evaluate it further. If it still looks interesting after the second stage takes about 10 days, the first stage takes about two or three days. If it's still interesting after that, we will then support a deep dive into the claim, and we will bring in our own people, experts that we work with, depending on the need of the case. So we will look, we'll bring in, for example, people who do various research into the validity, the whether it's a valid claim, whether if it's valid, it's been infringed, and if it's been infringed, bring in experts on damages to estimate what the damages are. We will bring in people that will help us give data on the litigation itself. Where is it going to be? Who are the defendants? What is their experience before? Looking at the particular jurisdiction, whether it's a jury case or not, how there's these particular defendants have fared before in litigation. We'll do a very deep, swift, and wide sweep of the information that's available, both on the validity or the value of the claim as a claim, and then if it is a good value, what the chances of success are and what our strategy would be in the litigation of the claim, two very separate things. And we bring in, differently from most other funds, we will bring in, or financiers, we will bring in a ton of different experts to help us, depending on the case. It may be corporate intelligence, it may be people who are know the data, they can give us data on these particular investments. It can be talking to investment bankers or buyers and sellers of the claim, because we may say, don't litigate it, sell it, here's a good buyer for you. So public relations, damage experts. So we will bring in whatever that particular claim needs. We've got an incredibly deep, wide network of experts in the area. And we will then, after probably 30 to 45 days, say whether it is a fundable case. If it is fundable, then whatever the funding needs, $1 to $10 million, will go into it. And if it's a case that we feel is not fundable, we will say that we're not going to go ahead with it. It was our cost, but it's not a fundable case, which might not, it doesn't mean it's not a winnable case. It's just not a fundable case that meets the criteria of what you need. And as you say, it's $25 million or more. Generally, most of our claims come in the hundreds of millions. There's a number in the billions, and there's several in the between 25 and 100 million. And they vary all over the place in terms of the nature of the claims and the jurisdictions and so on and so forth. But our overall process, as you originally asked, is as I just described, and it is a very, on serious cases, it is a very comprehensive, thorough one that we're proud of. Now, let me add one thing, if I may. we are different from, so far as I know, and I don't know everything, but so far as I know, we're different from every other entity out there because we not only will bring together a claim with capital that's interested in it. We have a network of investors that are interested in capital claims, and we have a number of sources who deal with claims that bring us the claims, patent lawyers or others, and we can match them together. We do not have, and very consciously in many ways, we don't have our own fund like some of the other, actually most of the other funders will, whether they're public or private. They have their own fund that's been put together, whether it's $50 million or $100 million or $200 or $300 million, that's dedicated to investing. We can, they will look at a claim and they will say whether or not they will invest in it. We go beyond that. We say if we want to invest it in, we will bring in an investor, but we can also just simply advise the claimant or the investor, as the case may be, but advise them on what's the best course. We will look at the case and say, well, maybe you shouldn't bring it. Or if you should bring it, here's the funder or the investor to go to. We can go to another investor, whether it's a Juridica or Harbor Litigation Funding or a Burford, and ask them to take a look at a case, and we can best present that claim to an investor or to another funder and do it very objectively. At the same time, we are able to, if it's interesting, negotiate out the contracts, and that cures so many problems that are out there, conflicts, ethical problems, and so on, for lawyers and for claimants who are coming to this situation and want to work out a good deal, a fair deal. We can act for them and help them to do that, even though we're not bringing capital to the equation. That position is a very conflict-free position, and it's also an expert position that is much needed, I think, in this industry of patent funding and in general in the funding industry, whether it's arbitration or antitrust or whatever. That independence, we think, is something that's very, very cherished, important, and pretty unique right now with us, but others are going to be doing it.
It sounds much more like a consulting role where you're advising both the litigant and the investor.
Your reaction is right on. It can be called a consultant. It can be called an advisor. It can be called an investment advisor. It can be called an investment bank in this particular industry. It's very much giving independent consulting advice generally to the claimant. Sometimes the investors will come to us, or sometimes the funders will come to us and say, can you help us? You have a source of claims. Can you help us to find good claims? And we will be better off for that, and we will hope that you can advise us on the strength of the claims, because we bring a lot, I think, to that side of the equation also. But most of our work we see coming in is on behalf of the claimants.
Now, is your process an iterative one, so that as the case proceeds into litigation and perhaps settlement discussions ensue or depositions take place and evidence arises, do you update your business plan, as I might call it?
We do update it in a way that I think is also interesting in the market, because it's also, to date anyway, very unusual. The market, the industry, not the market, the industry now is a hands-off industry. Most of the funders, by far, are hands-off. And I'll use Burford as an example. Burford is a company that's now the largest in the world. It's got over $300 million of capital, and it's got a very a good reputation. I'm proud that I co-founded that, actually, and I chaired it for a while, and it's a wonderful organization. It's a public company. When we went public, we made it clear that we're hands-off, just like Harbor Litigation and other known funders have said, which means that once you evaluate and you invest, you're hands-off from that point on till conclusion, whether it's settlement or trial. And there are very good reasons for that position, one of which was the Champerty laws, which said that if you control a case, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing as a third party, and there are some pretty strict rules about that. So the funders all say we're hands off. We say we're not hands off, we're hands on. That separates us, a huge divide between us and all the established funders, and there are one or two that are now coming into the market that are going to be doing the same thing. And by that, hands-on, we mean supporting it, bringing to the prosecution of the case after the funding, bringing to the prosecution of it the same benefits we think can go into the evaluation. We can help to, through research, through examination of the details, examination of the facts, keeping an ongoing handle on the process, we can support it and we think make it better. We can enhance it. If it's a good value, we can perhaps make it a better value, one that will settle earlier for a higher amount, a truer amount, more akin to what it's really worth. And that, we think, is not only novel, but what good claims really benefit from. If it's a good claim, it only gets better. And that, we think, works well within the Champerty rules. We do not control a case. We will be very, very careful to say that the decisions here are on behalf are done by the claimant and their lawyers, not by us. And we will advise, we'll consult, we'll support, but then the decision making is ours. And there we're hands off. So the we're within the guidelines or the rules, but we do a lot more, I think. And I think that is. It separates us from most, and it's, I think, a good thing.
Now, most IP litigation cases, particularly patent cases, settle long before trial, or at least before trial. How do you factor settlement into your plan?
We start with the proposition that we want only cases that are going to settle. We do not want to take on cases that we think, because of personalities or emotions or whatever, are going to inevitably go through trial. You're right that most cases do settle. Typical federal cases, 95% of them settle. And I think in the IP world, still the majority, maybe not quite that high, but most settle by far. And our view is that it's a much more rational process to settle than to go through trial. Once you go through trial, you're putting your fate into the hands of a lot of unknowns, whether it's a jury, whether it's a judge, whether it's any number of uncontrollable items that are part of the process and a healthy part of the process, but can be unpredictable. If you settle a case, you can be more rational with the other side, with yourself, and I think and you can also get it done more easily and quicker. So we're very much in favor of that. Sometimes we will back a case which goes through trial, but we had predicted not, and that's fine because we're backing a case through to the end, but we think that the cases should be settleable, and I would say, again, 95% of the cases that we're involved with do settle. And it's healthier. It's healthier for the defendants, it's healthier for the plaintiffs, and it's healthier for the court system.
Selvin, where do you see your company and companies like yours that are investing in IP litigation? Where do you see them going in the future?
It's an excellent question, and I guess it's not the easiest question to answer, but let me take a let me take a go at it because I've thought about it. First of all, to me, the patent world is such an exciting world in itself. It plays a vital role in the health of commerce in the country, and it is still trying to find the best way to reach its objectives, which are to encourage invention and to make inventions and inventive minds, give them rewards to encourage it. it has in that process, I think, very much become a segmented industry. There is so much to it. Now people are buying and selling patents regularly. This is all within the last 10 years, I think. Now there's investment bankers that are involved in the buying and selling process. There's private equity companies that are available to finance the buying and selling. There are companies that go into the analysis of the valuation of these patents and how you extract the value. There are research companies, there are fact companies, there's corporate intelligence companies, there's PR companies. There is a whole population out there which has grown up to help this process along and to make it easier to figure out what the value is, and then once you value it, how do you extract the value through another sale, through licensing, through litigation enforcement, through a combination. For example, there are portfolios of patents being transferred all with different destinies, one to be bought and sold, another to be licensed, a third group to be financed and litigated. And that has become a really entrepreneurial adventure that the patent world finds itself in, and it's, I think, at the end of the day, after a lot of the cobwebs are broken through in terms of new ideas and trying to make them shiny, it's going to all be very healthy in terms of the overall progress of producing a greater product for people to invent things, rewards to inventing, and giving the right incentive to do that. Now, the financing world is swept into this because the funder right now is very interested in those areas that involve enforcement, that part of the industry. However, to be a good funder, I think, the funders have to get involved in all the other parts. They have to know when they look at a claim whether it's best to litigate it or to say, no, don't litigate it, sell it, or license it, or do something. If you're going to be a full contributor in this world, you've got to know and be able to work with the different parts and pieces of the industry. And ultimately, the financer has overlapping interests with different segments of the industry. The financer itself may buy and sell, may buy and then sell some and enforce others or license others. So the financing world, I think, is an expanding one as the needs of the industry expand. And as I see it in the future, the next 10 years is going to continue to be what is sort of an explosion in this new, brave new world, which is where the patent world or the IP world is going, and the financing is going to be transformed, and you're going to see specialty companies. One of the things we have very much at the top of our list is creating a special fund to do nothing but invest in patent claims, patent companies. So you're going to see that development in the financing world, and I think as part of that, you're also going to see a number of financiers who are taking on newer challenges, such as what I was talking about, going into supporting the enforcement, going into choosing the right cases so that the financiers will become better. And the financiers, I think, are going to take what's going on in the patent world and use it in other parts of their industry. They're going to use what's going on in the patent world to support patterns of practice and methods in other funding situations, antitrust, securities violations, international arbitration, whistleblower cases, because the financing world and the patent world have, I think, been ahead of the game of the rest of the financing world. There's buying and selling, there's controlling that doesn't go, for example, which doesn't go on yet in the other investment financing worlds or the third-party financing, and I think they're going to be a model, because it's working well, for how to do it in other industries, antitrust and securities and so on that I was mentioning. And for that reason, I think that the patent developments are going to help the rest of the financing world as well.
Thank you very much for these insights, Elvin.
Well, I very much appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about them, and I think it's a real benefit to us to be able to get certain information into the public sphere, because from the beginning I've always thought that the more information out there about financing, the better off the industry is and the market is. And that people can take exception, they can challenge it, or they can agree with it, but the important thing is to get it out there.
Selvin Seidel is the chairman and CEO of Fulbrook Capital Management in New York City. For further information on Mr. Seidel, on Fulbrook Capital Management and its work as a third-party funder for patent litigation, and for information on our other jurisdiction podcasts, please visit iplawpodcast.com. You've been listening to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast. I'm Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for listening.